Our message is, I press on. Hallelujah. If you haven't figured that out yet. Amen. So let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we thank you, Lord, for this opportunity, God, to look into the Word of God, to know, Lord, that you desire for us to press on for the upward call, for the prize that is in Christ Jesus. And so, Lord, today as we look at this word, let it be revelation into our hearts, Lord. Holy Spirit, release your wisdom and your counsel to each person sitting here, Lord, each person listening, Father God. We thank you, Lord, for your help, Lord, to help us understand what you're asking of us in this time and in this season. In Jesus' name, and the church said, amen. So this is a transition time. Let's think about it. We are moving this week from 2021 to 2022. And the definition of transition is movement, passage, or change from one position, state, stage, subject, concept to another. So the question is, what are you leaving behind? As the scripture told us, that we're leaving the past behind. And what are you focusing on as you press on into 2022? Our main scripture today is found in Philippians 3, 13 through 14. It's up there on the screen if you'd like to read it with me. Brothers, I do not consider that I have made it my own, but one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and straining forward to what lies ahead, I press on toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. The Apostle Paul challenged himself and Christians to keep moving forward in the Christian walk of faith. Regardless of what's going on in the world, regardless of the circumstances, regardless of COVID and Omicron, regardless of what is distracting us in our everyday life, we need a focus to press on. And so he's challenging us to keep walking in faith. And when Paul said he was forgetting those things that were behind, he referred to not looking back on failed relationships and memories and temptations or anything that would distract him from his single mind focus, which was the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. You know, I believe if we keep Jesus Christ at the center of our life, everything else flows around that. Many people teach you put this first and you put this next and then this goes next and this goes next. And that's a great way of teaching, you know, God and then your spouse and then your family. However, what I have found in my life to be so true is that when I put Jesus Christ at the center of my life, every relationship, every job, every responsibility flows from the Father, and he helps me. Sometimes the husband isn't first because the children need you more than the husband needs you. If you've ever been a mom and raised a family, you know that. It doesn't mean that your husband isn't first in your heart, but the children have a greater need at that time. And I used to feel so guilty. It's like I've got this all out of whack. It's all out of balance. I'm not pleasing God because I'm not following this list that came from Greek theology. This is how you do this. The Jews were cyclical. They taught in circles, and life goes in circles. And so when God is at the center, whatever's flowing out of your circle, it's going to be perfect. It's going to be inspired. It's going to be blessed of God, and there's going to be harmony in the family. Do you get that? Do you understand what I'm saying this morning? Hallelujah. So Paul was talking about not letting anything distract us, but to keep pressing on. And he used the image of an athlete that's running a race. And I don't know how many runners do we have in here. Leonard and I used to run, And that was probably what did my knees in, hallelujah, because we ran miles every week. And we love getting out there in the open spaces and just in the creation of God and running and fellowshipping with people. It was just a great time. And so I kind of understand this process of running a race. Has anyone here ever run a race? A 10K, 3K? Marathon, half marathon. So you know the endurance that it takes, and you know how focused you have to be to finish that race. And that's what Paul was talking about. The New Living Translation says it like this: I focus on this one thing, forgetting the past and looking forward to what lies ahead. I press to reach the end of the race and receive the heavenly prize for which God, through Christ Jesus, is calling us. So forgetting what is behind is Paul's way of saying, don't look back. Stop dwelling on the past. Don't let anything behind you interfere with your present progress or future efforts. God has a future for us, regardless of what happened in 2021. God has a future for you and a hope for you in 2022. Can somebody say amen? Amen. So when we're talking about forgetting, we're not talking about being forgetful. That's a different interpretation of the word. So I'm going to share a story with you so you understand what forgetful I'm talking. There's a story about a cousin from the city who was visiting relatives on the farm, and the farmer wanted to show him how well his dog performed and worked with the cattle. So this farmer gave a whistle, and his dog herded up all of the cattle, put them in the corral, closed the gate, and then latched the gate with her paw. And his cousin was really impressed, and he said, "Wow, that is some dog. What's her name?" And the forgetful farmer thought for a minute, and then he asked, "Well, what do you call that red flower that smells really good and has thorns on the stem?" And his cousin said, "A rose?" And he said, "That's it." And then the farmer turned to his wife and said, "Hey, Rose, what do we call the dog?" That's bad, yeah. So we're not talking about forgetfulness, but we're talking about the goodness of God to forgive us of our sins, our past mistakes, our failures, the things we really messed up in 2021, so that we could go on into 2022. He doesn't want us to rehearse all of that in 2022. He wants us to leave it in the past. And this morning, as people were baptized, they made a public confession that they are leaving the old life in the past. When we're buried in Jesus' name, our sins are covered. The scripture says in Colossians 2:12, buried with him in baptism, which you also were raised with him through faith in the working of God who raised him from the dead. So every time a person was baptized, it is a symbol of the same death, burial, and resurrection power of Jesus Christ. They went down in the water, in the watery grave, and were buried in Jesus' name, and their sins were forgiven, washed away. Their past is behind them, and they raised them up a new creature in Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. Give the Lord a praise this morning. Thank you, Jesus. Colossians 2:12. No, let's go on to 2 Corinthians 5:17. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come. And so God wants us to recognize the new. We need to understand that God is far more interested in our future than he is in our past. And I've met so many people that think God is stuck on their past, that all he wants to do is remind them of the things that they did and what they did wrong. But the truth is, God wants to forgive us. He wants us to release it so we can move on. And he said in Psalm 103:12 that as far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed our transgressions from us. That's pretty far, isn't it? Can you measure how far the east is from the west? No, we cannot. It's forever, Apostle Leonard said. He has removed them. So we're going to go to the Bible. There is an account in the scripture of a woman caught in sin in the book of John. And we're going to take a look at this account. And I'm going to read through the story. And probably many of you have heard this story before. But the teachers of the law and the Pharisees brought in a woman caught in adultery. And they made her stand before the group and said to Jesus, "Teacher, this woman was caught in the act of adultery. In the law, Moses commanded us to stone such women. Now what do you say?" And they were using this question as a trap in order to have a basis for accusing him. But Jesus bent down and started to write on the ground with his finger. When they kept on questioning him, he straightened up and said to them, "If any one of you is without sin, let him be the first to throw a stone at her." And again, he stooped down and wrote on the ground. At this, those who heard began to go away one at a time. The older ones first, they were probably older and wiser, until only Jesus was left with the woman still standing there. Jesus straightened up and asked her, "Woman, where are they? Has no one condemned you?" "No one, sir," she said. "Then neither do I condemn you," Jesus declared. "Go now, leave your life of sin." Jesus did not condemn her. Jesus did not give her a lecture. Jesus forgave her. Jesus released her from the sin that she was in. And that's what he'll do for us. He isn't thinking about the sin. He's thinking about your freedom. He paid a price for our sins. And so when we receive his forgiveness, when we allow him to minister to our soul, then we are receiving the gift that he gave his life for. He died for us that we could live. I love this scripture in Micah 7:19. The scripture says, "He will again have compassion on us. He will tread our iniquities underfoot. You will cast all our sins into the depths of the sea." That's pretty deep, isn't it? God has an excellent memory, but he chooses to forgive and to forget our sins. So we are the ones that bring this up and ruminate on all our past failures and our mistakes. And so I'm encouraging you this morning, as we are transitioning from 2021 into 2022, we want to leave the past behind. And there are some steps, some transition instructions that I'm just going to share with you. There's about 7 of them. The first one is be open and flexible to God's plans, purposes, and surprises in the new year. Isaiah 55:9 says, "As the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts more than your thoughts." Be open to what God has for you in 2022. Don't limit God by your thinking. We limit ourselves with our logical thinking. God's thoughts are above our thoughts. His ways are beyond your ways. We cannot understand with our own mind. The scripture says, "Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him, and he will direct your paths." The second one is surround yourself with godly counsel in the new year. Proverbs 15:22, scripture says, "Plans fail for lack of counsel, but with many advisors, they succeed." We live in an independent culture. We are taught to be independent. God wants us to be dependent on one another. He wants us to live in community. He wants us to receive from one another. Each one of you have gifts and abilities and talents that God has placed on the inside of you that will bless other people. But you have to be open to be taught yourself to receive from others. So much is a do-it-yourselfer in our culture. And God did not design that. And with COVID and all the isolation and you better stay home and you shouldn't get together, on and on and on, it just creates more of this isolation and self-dependence. We're not relying on each other. You know, there's something that happens when the body of Christ comes together or when people gather together. When you look in each other's eyes, there is actually changes that take place in your brain. You begin to produce hormones and the chemistry begins to be released that causes you to feel a joy in your soul. It causes you to feel this connectedness. And I'm telling you, you can't get that online. It just doesn't happen. But you can see how the enemy has come in to keep people from being together. Because when we're together, there is something that happens. When the body of Christ comes together, there is something that happens that compares to nothing else. And Satan is afraid of the body of Christ because the body of Christ, the church of Jesus Christ, is the ruling authority in the earth. And when the church begins to realize the authority and the power that God has given them, the enemy has got to leave that territory. Come on. All right, I'm off. Number three, be slow to speak, quick to listen, and extremely alert in the new year. James 1, 19 and 20 says, my dear brothers, take note of this. So take your note. Everyone should be quick to listen. That's why God gave you two ears. Slow to speak. That's why you got one mouth. Can you imagine two mouths going at the same time? And slow to become angry. Hey, slow it down when you feel those emotions rising up. You got to slow it down. Only you can control you. And so when you feel that stirring up on the inside of you, you need to begin to recognize, God's showing you something. The gauges are like rising. It's like when you're driving a car and you look at the gauges. Well, you're driving your life and your gauge is going up, and anger is not a pretty thing. So be slow to become angry. Listen for the whole situation. Try to understand where the other person's coming from. It's not all about you. People get angry because they want it their way. I'm not getting very many amens on that. Yeah, it's quiet. But the scripture goes on and says, for man's anger does not bring about the righteous life that God desires. Wow. Let's go on. I used to do anger management classes, groups, so we could stay there for a while. Number four, make a decision to come to church. Get planted in the house of the Lord and deepen your relationship with God by being committed to Him and being committed to your River of Life family or to whatever church you belong to. Be committed. Hebrews 10:25 says this, let us not give up meeting together as some are in the habit of doing, but let us encourage one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching. Do we see the day approaching? Yes, we surely do. Psalm 92:13 said, those who are planted in the house of the Lord shall flourish in the courts of our God. God called us together to be the church. We're the body of Christ. We're many members. And when people go away and say, I am the church, well, no, you're not. You're a member of the church. You're a representative of the body of Christ. You know, there comes that independent spirit Once again, I am the church. I don't need anybody else. That is not true. That is a lie from the pit of hell. We are the church together. We are the body of Christ together. When we isolate, if you're the foot and you're supposed to be moving the church or mobilizing something within the church, if that's your gift, then the church is limping around because you're not here to take your position. Do you see what I'm saying? Get yourself planted in the house of the Lord. God has work for his church to do. And the most powerful thing we can do is come together on Sunday morning and declare and praise the Lord and release that sound into the atmosphere and just begin to rattle the principalities and the powers that are over this territory. Help us, Lord. That's what we do. Hallelujah. Number five is learn from the mistakes you made in 2021. Learn from them and move on. Isaiah 43, 18 through 19, forget the former things. You know, God tells us several times in the scripture to forget about the past, to leave the past behind, not to dwell on the past, because he doesn't want us dwelling on the negative. When you're around people that dwell on the negative, it's just like, honestly, I just want to say, shut up. It's hard to be nice. Well, it just is. It just pulls you down. I don't want to be around people that pull me down. Come on, we're going into 2022. We need to be connected with people who are going to lift us up. God told us to encourage one another, not to be negative to one another. Is that right? All right, so forget the former things. Do not dwell on the past. See? He's saying, see? Look, look. I am doing a new thing, and now it springs up. Do you perceive it? Or are you so busy looking at the past, looking at the negative, you can't even see the goodness that I am doing in your life? Open your eyes. Open your eyes, children. I'm making a way in the desert and streams in the wasteland. You know, in this passage, this is referring to Israel was being punished for their sins and their rebellion against God. But God wanted to give them hope and encouragement. He wanted them to know that even though they were being punished, they were not being forsaken. God wanted his people to understand that the punishment that they were experiencing was not the end of them. The fact is that God wanted to give them a fresh start in life. He wanted to bring a new beginning into life. And sometimes God, I believe he works with each person in different ways, but with me, it's like I need to get really uncomfortable. I used to. I've learned before I'll make the change. And so if you get yourself too comfortable and you can't make the changes that God is asking you to, it just gets worse. Has anyone else ever experienced that? It's like, I know now when I counsel people, I'll say, oh, the grace is gone from that situation. You better be asking God how you transition out of that, because the grace is lifting. He'll give you grace for a while, and then it gets worse. I know that's not good news, sorry. But it is good news, because God's working on our behalf. He wants us to leave the past behind. There's a shift, a transition coming, and when we don't know what it is, then we stall. But we've got to learn to walk by faith and not by sight. And get godly counsel. Don't just jump off the cliff. But Israel was discouraged. And maybe they thought they had gone too far and God was not going to rescue them and deliver them. But you know, I believe they begin to think about the former things God did for them. About the former battles that he fought for them, about the victories that were won. And when we get in that place where we think that we're not hearing God, we just can't move on, we need to begin to thank God for what he's already done in our lives. We talked about it a few weeks ago. Start to write those things down. Your thankful list. The list will get really long, and declare and read that list every day and thank God for the things that he's done in your life. Because God has more for you. They couldn't see their future. Sometimes we can't see our future because we're in such a hole. But God was saying, look, see, I am going to do something new. It's not over, church. God has plans for us. He has plans for your life. He says, I'm doing something new. And you know what? God is more interested in your future than he is with your past. Because that's where you're going to spend the rest of your life. God is looking at your future because that's where you're going to be walking with God. We leave the past behind. Forget about the former things. Don't think about it. Look at the new thing. I'm going to do it, God says. So number six, do not entertain feelings of fear and uncertainty. Confess God's word over your life. This is one of my favorite scriptures, Isaiah 41:10. So do not fear, Janet, for I'm with you. Do not be dismayed, Janet, for I am your God. I will strengthen you, Janet. I will help you, Janet. I will uphold you, Janet, with my righteous right hand. Put your name in there. Begin to declare that. That will lift your spirits. That will lift your confidence. And you won't be entertaining fear, but you are going to be feeling courageous. Because the Lord your God is with you. It's not by might. It's not by power. But it's by the Spirit of the living God. And God's word is spirit and it is life. We've got to declare his word. Get in his word. The enemy will do everything to keep you out of the word. You'll procrastinate it. You'll put it off. You'll say, I'm going to do it. And our flesh, you know, the spirit's willing. The flesh is weak. Hallelujah. Have you heard that scripture before? It's the truth, isn't it? Tell your neighbor it's the truth. It's the truth. So you have to make yourself do it. Nobody can make you. No one can make you. A lot of parents found out this year teaching their children on the internet, you really can't make your children do their schoolwork. And that's what I think of when we know what we're supposed to do for God. He's not going to make us do it, but he will help us in every way to get it done. Hallelujah. And so you got to start talking to yourself. You got to take care of yourself. Nobody's going to do this for you. You can't go to heaven on your mama's faith. You've got to have the faith yourself. And so we've got to get in the Word. And those feelings of fear and uncertainty of the future, and there's been a lot of that, hasn't there? It's like you can be on an emotional high and back down if you watch too much news. Jesus help us. We're going on, hallelujah, 7. Write down your goals for the new year and ask the pastors or the elders to pray with you over them. Bring them to church. Commit your way to the Lord. Trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. That is Psalm 37:5. So there are two goals that every Christian has. There's goals that we need to attain, that we need to aim for in our life. Because if we just drift, we don't want to drift around in 2022. God is coming soon. That day is approaching. The scripture says, work while it is day, for the night comes when no man can work. So we've got to work the works of the kingdom while we have today. Because, church, we have no promise of tomorrow. Doesn't matter how old you are or how young you are, you have no promise of tomorrow. So when you get up in the morning, you ask the Lord to help you make the most of this day. Because it's the only day you got. We plan so far ahead, but it's only if the Lord's willing. Hallelujah, that we're going to get there. But we have two goals in our Christian life. The goal of external accomplishment, what we do for God. And the goal of internal development, what we become in God. So God is always working on the inside, and it manifests on the outside. And our external accomplishments will only come to the greatness of what God has worked inside. And we could spend a lot of time there. But I just want to share this. God has made an investment in each one of us. And we have a responsibility to set our goals in accordance with His expectations for us. At the end of January, third or fourth week, I will be teaching my Discovering Your Personal Purpose course once again. And this course will get you on track to discover the purpose that God created you for. I was 40 years old and I had been in church. We had done lots of things, but I said, God, what is my purpose? Why am I here on this earth? And He set me on a path, and I just took notes as I went along and the different exercises that I did, and God led me to that place where I could write out my purpose. The purpose for which He created me. And that's what God wants, because when we get set on that course, we have the passion, we have the power, we have God's backing to accomplish every single bit of it. But if you have dreamt up something that you want to do, you don't have all of that to support you. So when we want God's support, we want God's wind at our back pushing us forward in this race, we've got to know our personal purpose, why He created us, and let Him develop us on from the inside out. We're transformed, by the way, by the renewing of our mind. And what renews our mind? The Word of God. So to change your thinking, you've got to be in the Word. So the Scripture is very clear that we have to take necessary actions to accomplish this. And I'm almost done. You're doing good. 1 John 1:9. If we confess our sins, He's faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. So the first thing we have to do is confess our sins. And talking about confession, I heard a story about four preachers. And they got together for a friendly gathering. And during their conversation, one of the preachers said, you know, our people come to us all the time and just pour their hearts out. They confess certain sins and needs. Let's do that today with one another. Let's confess. Because confession is good for the soul, the preacher said. So it took a little while, but they finally all agreed that they would confess their sin, at least one of them. And so the first one confessed that he preached hard against going to movies, but whenever he would go out of town, he would sneak off to movies. And the second one confessed that when he got by himself and no one was around, he would smoke cigars. And the third one confessed that he had a gambling habit, even though he'd preached against even just playing cards. And so when it came to the fourth preacher, he wouldn't confess. He was not going to confess. And they kept pressing him and pressing him to make a confession. They said, come on, we confessed ours. What's yours? And he said, well, it's gossiping, and I can hardly wait to get out of here. So when you confess your sins, make sure you're not confessing your sins to a gossip, even though it's a preacher. Hallelujah. You need to confess your sins before God. And when He gives you a confident, and God will do that, We need to release what's in our soul. We need someone. See, that's the other part. You can't do that by yourself. You're going to keep holding on to that, carrying that around. You need to just confess it. Have someone who can pray in the Holy Ghost, pray over you, pray with you, that burden is lifted, that part of your soul that's been hurt, bruised, broken, that God comes and heals that, because only God can heal our soul. He is the great soul physician. Hallelujah. So the next thing we do, we confess. We repent. When we repent, we turn around and go the opposite direction. It's not just saying, oh, I'm sorry, and then going back and doing it again. That gets really old. It gets old in relationships. I'm sure it gets very old to God when people confess and they go right back. There is something wrong. There is something you're missing. That's a good clue that you need to help. Get help. Get help. God has help for us. He wants to heal our souls. And then we need to forgive. Forgive. Forgiving is learning to stop being angry and harboring resentment towards someone who has wronged you. Forgive them. Release them to the Lord. And so I just want to make a point here. When we're talking about leaving the past behind and pressing on, we're not talking about repressing negative emotions. You know how people will say to you, oh, just get over it. Or maybe you tell yourself that because we're pretty hard on ourselves. Oh, you just need to get over it. Well, if you're having a hard time getting over it, then that means that you need help with it. Because the truth is, emotions buried alive never die. And they are finding out through scientific research that those emotions that you try to repress and you try to bury actually cause sickness and disease and illnesses in the body. Negative emotions are powerful. But God is more powerful. He's more powerful. We just don't want to carry them around. We need to find someone. So that's not the forgetting we're talking about. So if you're sitting here today thinking, well, I can't forget that, well, then you need help. Tell your neighbor, you need help. And then the next step is to surrender and release it. We have to surrender. That is sometimes very difficult for the human spirit. For our own will to surrender to God and what He has for us. But we have a great high priest who's touched with the feelings of our infirmities. He knows our weaknesses. And He said He was tempted every way that we've been tempted. So tell your neighbor, there's nothing new. We think it only happens to us. Oh, it only happens to me. Woe is me. No. Jesus was tempted. So the scripture says that we can have confidence to come before His throne of grace. And where do we receive mercy? That's where we get mercy. When we come before the throne. And we find grace to help us in our time of need. So we're back to the question, what are you leaving behind and what are you taking with you into the new year? What is it that you need to take to Jesus? We got to leave things behind so we can run this race in 2022. And this is our transition week. So this message was written to challenge you to take a look at these things. And in counseling, I had a client that wanted a proclamation, a prayer proclamation to help them accomplish this. And so here it is. God, you promised to work it all together for good. So, Lord, I'm looking for the good you're bringing me in the midst of this situation. And whatever that situation is, you bring it to God. Remember Romans 8:28. Does everyone know that verse? And we know that all things work together for good for those who love God, who are called according to his purpose. God works it together. It might feel horrible. It might be horrible. But God is doing something in the midst of it. And it's for good. He works it for good. And so when we do our prayer proclamation, it's, Lord, you promised to work it all together for good. So, Lord, I'm looking for the good you're bringing me in the midst of this. And whatever the change is, put it in that line. And then the next part I wrote was, Lord, with the right heart attitude, I willingly release to you whatever it is you need to release in that situation. Sometimes it's people, sometimes it's disappointment, whatever it is. Sometimes it's the rejection that you suffered, the uncertainty. I release it to you. And I lovingly embrace your will for my life and accept this change. God is changing us in the midst of all of our trials and tribulations. And on it says, for you are the one ordering my steps and giving me hope and my future. It all comes from God. And I will make sure that these notes are online, this outline, so that you can go back over it and use this prayer proclamation in your life as you're transitioning and changing. And there's so many changes in life, isn't there? I tell people there are so many changes and transitions in marriage. If you're not willing to go along with the ride and to change and transition, you'll never make it.